Hello, Pastor Deborah here, and welcome again to another wonderful episode of the Hidden Kingdoms podcast show, Agape Love, A Voice of Light in the Darkness. This is going to be part number 23, episode number 23, and we're going to be picking up with The Oppressed Spirit by Dr. Miles Monroe of the Bahamas Faith Ministries from a teaching he did at the Leading Edge Leadership Conference many years ago. Dr. Miles and his wife, Ruth, are in heaven now. They were in a plane crash in the Bahamas years and years ago. But I listened to his teaching at the Leading Edge Leadership Conference, and it was powerful. And it was talking about us, humanity, as an oppressed spirit. So we're going to pick up in part number 23 of that teaching, which was adapted by the Holy Spirit for me to be able to teach it to you, even if you are far away in your heart and mind from being free. And we're also going to hear a couple of other things. One, a letter called To My Spiritual Mother Forever from a precious spiritual daughter that was written to me in 2000. She grew up in multi-generational Satanism. I want you to hear her letter to me after I spiritually adopted her. Then I want you to hear about my spiritual parenting responsibilities. These were given to me and inspired to me by the Holy Spirit so that I would have an understanding of what I was to do when I spiritually adopt people. And then I want you to hear some wonderful words that a lady wrote, Dorothy Law Note, called Children Learn What They Live. Excellent. Then we'll get into the teaching of the oppressed spirit. So right now, just listen to these first points from me, Pastor Deborah, here on the podcast show of the Hidden Kingdoms called Agape Love, A Voice of Light in the Darkness. So let's begin first with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much as a father, that you desire to have all of humanity back as your children. We thank you that you'll reach into every culture, every religion, every faith, every age, even into the womb of a woman to the child. We thank you that you will reach us at a moment when we are dying and leaving our earthly bodies. We thank you that you have come down, you continue to come down to talk to us and meet with us, to reach out to us, that you come in many different ways so that you and us, humanity, can become a family again. And all of humanity can realize we are all brothers and sisters, one family called humanity. And we thank you so much for your love of your creation called humanity. And thank you for not leaving us alone down here to our own devices, and that even though we were taken prisoner and we became oppressed, sunk down in our souls of the world of flesh, the world of pride and lust, and of our physical body, that you did not leave us alone. You came and you reached down to us to give us a spiritual circumcision, to bring us up out of the shell of our soul so that we could become your children. In the name of God of creation, amen. Okay, this is a letter that was written to me when I was known as Pastor Jan. That was before I went through death to become Deborah. It's called To My Spiritual Mother Forever, written to me in January 2000 by a 16-year-old multi-generational Satanist. Her name was Miss Amanda. who accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and became my spiritual child. She was a bride of Satan, from a church of Satan. She was a chosen bloodline, a royal family, and a high priestess and witch. I met her when she was 14, and we are still mother and daughter. She's grown up now as children and probably grandchildren. She's out there in the world somewhere, always reaching out. I'm always praying for her. I may not see her much now, but I'll see her when we all get to eternity. So listen to her letter. This was 2 years after she was introduced to Jesus Christ, on October the 9th, 1998. That was her satanic birthday night. Her real birthday was October the 27th. But in Satanism, they take your dates. They add them up, and her birthday, 27, became 9. It was Friday night, October the 9th, 1998. She was 14 years old. And we found each other. First of all, I'd like to say I think of you often, each and every day. You're the kind of person that makes life worth living. Every time I see you, you make me so happy. Even though times get tough, you have always pulled us through. You've been and continue to be a wonderful friend. Your inner light always shines through. You give unconditional love, and you sacrificed your love, time, and pieces of your heart to make me feel like I am a part of your family. You've always been there for me, teaching me, loving me, praying for me, caring for me. You show me the love and tenderness in a mother that I never got before. Your presence alone gives me the sense of completion. Your words of encouragement still echo through my heart. I can only, through this letter, you see how much you really mean to me. I want you to know, no matter where I go or whom I'm with, you'll always be in my heart. No matter what people may say or do to try and break the ties to you, they'll never break my love for you. You are more than a friend. You are my spiritual mother. You gave me life into a new kingdom. You helped me grow into a child of God. I'll always love you. No matter what changes in my life, no matter which side I'm forced to live on, and no matter what, you'll always be in my heart, on my mind, and a part of my soul. I gotta go now. I hope you like what I've shared with you today, because every word truly comes from my heart. Peace and goodbye. I love you, Mom. Always and forever, with much love and respect, your daughter, friend forever, Amanda. You see, when you have been mistreated spiritually and emotionally and physically, as she was, from women, you do not know what a righteous spiritual mother really is. Many of you listening to this have never even had a spiritual mother. Agape love that you're learning about is the anchor of our spirit. It is what holds us when times become tough, when we're fearful, when we're abused, neglected, abandoned, when we lose loved ones. Agape love, if it's set right by a mama, and you have felt that foundation and cuddling at a mother's breast, drinking her milk, being cuddled, looked at, talked to, then you are anchored. And the Spirit needed that of Amanda, and so do you. Now I want to tell you about my spiritual parenting responsibilities. These were inspired by the Holy Spirit to me back in March 2003. So it was interesting. And how did I become a spiritual mother? I was asked one night when I was in church in a praise and worship time, hands held up, praising God, worshiping Him. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, because I moved in the gift of discerning the spirits, I could hear His voice so clearly. He said, "What was the desires of my heart?" I immediately said that I could be a spiritual mother, draw those in witchcraft, Satanism, the occult, the psychics, heavy metal music, those who were lost, abused, tormented, the drug cartels, the gangs, all of those who had been abused, tormented, in the lesbian, gay community, those who were serving Satan and didn't even know it. And the reason I said that was I want to turn their hearts to the Father. And the Holy Spirit said, "It is done." I was immediately anointed to be a spiritual mother right then and there, not knowing what lied ahead, but I knew what I was to do with everybody. And I knew what my job was spiritually. My job was to anchor you in agape love, anchor you, and then turn your thoughts, your heart, and introduce you to your God, the creator of humanity and of eternity. So you would know that you had both a father and a mother, and that all of humanity were your brothers and your sisters. So I became a spiritual mother very early, and I adopt everybody. So now we're hearing what my spiritual responsibilities are. Number one, to love with agape love unconditionally forever. Number two, to spiritually protect and shepherd the spiritual child. Three, to spiritually provide spiritual food, teachings, water, milk of the word, and then the meat of the world. I gotta feed you with teachings, love, cuddling, affections, truth, light. Number four, to provide a spiritually safe place for spiritual growth and to ensure that you attend the school of God spiritually. I even do that now. I send out videos. There are so much wonderful teaching in every religion, in every culture. From the ancient days to now, people were reaching out spiritually, trying to understand the Creator, trying to reach Him, trying to be one with Him, trying to understand Him. So I am always sending out videos and stories, making videos here for you. My job is a teacher, talking to you in the spirit. When I cuddle with you, hold you in my arms, or when you just come to visit. I had to learn how to look down my hallway. Look, when I am teaching on a video through Zoom, looking through the camera and seeing you out there, billions and billions of you listening. I had to become a teacher. And you were my students. Like a mama and a child, always talking, teaching, reading to you, showing you things. I used to do that with my biological child. We watched movies together. We'd go for bicycle rides. I was the big one. He sat in a little chair. I would show him trees, leaves, and I would spell to him, do math with him, talk to him about science and God, teaching, teaching, teaching. My job, number five, was to teach you how to spiritually dress, talk, interact, think, believe spiritually as a royal child, the heir of the Most High God. For He's going to have much for you to do. Number six, to assist the Holy Spirit, the comforter and teacher, in spiritual child training and development. be able to get some early childhood development to you. I just took many, many people from a royal family into the Cave of Lights. They understood that because in their religion, Muhammad met an angel of God in a cave. Oh, it's a beautiful cave. It's beautiful. It lights up with the stars and it sings. The cave, the rock, sings music to it. And God of creation reached down, just like he did to me in Brownsville Assembly of God back in 1999, and touched us. Powerful, powerful. But you may not understand the power of caves. It might just be out on a mountaintop in your sleep. God will touch you anywhere, so you will know he is real. Number 7, to provide a spiritual, mature relationship that will not abuse you, abandon you, reject you, wound you, break you, control you, the spiritual child. I may have to discipline you, send you to your room, so to speak, for a little while. I have to understand spiritual awakening, how you come up out of the shell. You're just a baby. And you don't know much, and it's a mess inside of you when this happens. But I have to know that your heart, your mind, your spirit is seeking it. It wants to grow. It wants to come out. It's lived in darkness. It has to come out. So we give you a spiritual circumcision. And we pull back the flesh, the soul, and up you come, slowly. And the rays of agape love and God start shining on you as you're reaching out with your roots to a mama and getting love and warmth. Number 8, to provide spiritual teaching to you in living in a spiritual royal family and as a spiritual warrior. You must learn you are a king, a ruler, a leader. You must become a warrior. Whether your spirit may be male or female, I can be a king or a queen, depending on the situation. But I must understand I am a leader, a royal leader here on earth, because I'm going to do battle. Kingdoms. I have to be a warrior. So we'll study a lot about warriors, knights, maybe the Spartans. We will study about rulership and kings. We will study about leadership. Number 9, my job is to spiritually assist you in learning how to live in a spiritual kingdom. About kings and who the real king is. How to operate with decrees and edicts, and how to live and intercede and pray for nations, how to work with the spiritual kingdom of God to take back land and territory, the earth itself, for the righteous king. Number 10, to spiritually provide spiritual counsel and guidance for your spiritual education and vocation in the spiritual family business of running the spiritual and natural universes by the spiritual laws of the kingdom of heaven. We have to learn laws, righteousness, truth, justice. You must be deemed worthy. For a long time, you'll just be a prince in training, supervised. You must learn how to understand nations and rulership. A lot to learn. And that's why a mama has been put into your life. Now I want to give you a poem. It's called Children Learn What They Live by Dorothy Law Note. And this is going to help you. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Children learn. And my question to you is, what are you teaching them spiritually? All right, we're going to pick up now in the next part of The Oppressed Spirit. This is part number 23 of The Oppressed Spirit, as I said, by Dr. Miles Monroe, that I adapted to a spiritual context. We had been talking about the oppressed spirit and how important it is to want to be free. So let's listen. The Most High God's desires for one, that means you, to become who He says one is to become, a child of God, the Son of God, an offspring of God, His reflection of all He is, His image, and after His likeness, an heir to the kingdom of heaven with all authority and dominion on earth, in oneness with His Spirit, with His anointed Word of God. Not a male or a female, but a non-gender spiritual being. But you can be either one, whatever is needed. God will make sure that what is needed for the mission. Sometimes I'm a male. Sometimes I'm a female. It's up to Him. Not married to anyone, but only married to the living Word of God. But that can also be if God decides you are to be a partner with another spiritual being to get the job done here on earth, then He will marry you. You'll be one in spirit. Marriage was always in the card, so to speak, for humanity. We're not to be a Jew or a Greek, no nationality of any country on earth, or from any culture or faith. We're to be from the eternal kingdom of heaven, the eternal God of creation. No race, no color of skin. We're to be pure beings of light, with the colors of the rainbow in us, like sunlight, bright like the sun. A child of truth, light, a child from above, the kingdom of heaven. A child of spiritual resurrection, new life. We have been brought up out of the soul, resurrected. The shell has been pulled back, circumcised. No longer dead to the Heavenly Father, to God. We are a king, a lord on earth for the kingdom of heaven. A spiritual ruler, royal, majestic, full of honor and dignity. You have to learn this. These spiritual qualities already exist in a newborn spiritual person. But one has to become it. You must grow. You need a mother to teach it. You need teaching, teaching, teaching. Practice, practice, practice. Because as one thinks in his heart, in your mind, so are you. You must have a belief that you are a spiritual king, a leader, a ruler, and what your purpose and mission for being spiritually reborn out of the soul takes time. One must be very careful who they keep spiritual company with, and even earthly company. The places one goes, the books one reads, the movies one goes to, the music one listens to, the food one eats. And even nowadays, what social media sites you go to, who you listen to, what is important to you. One should not want to continue to eat or drink toxic food, toxic water, toxic sounds, or even observe violence. When one discovers, learns, who one is really spiritually, and who we're to become through this new spiritual birth, one will start becoming careful in what one is doing, feeling, feeding yourself at what and what one is spiritually feeding others. Maybe your social media sites have to change. Maybe your videos. Maybe your poems, your words, your letters, your conversation. Everything must change. The person you were must die. And the person that you're to become takes time. Most of the time we seem not to care what we watch, what we eat, look at, who we believe, who we're with, where are we going. We really don't care who or what is fertilizing us or what we're eating or drinking in. Whoever one is listening to, believing in, is fertilizing you. Anyone, a book, internet site, Facebook friends, tweets, news feeds, movies, music, celebrity status, political leaders, family, the hood, the gang members, religious leaders, the world, they are causing one to be infected with viruses, diseases in your spiritually hidden seed and your spiritual heart and mind. They are your nutrients that your spirit is getting nutrients from. Be careful out there. One is born again, spiritually reawakened, spiritually recreated to be a spiritual king, a ruler, a leader of people, not over them, through agape love, joy and peace, and righteousness and justice. Culture will tell one, if you lead, you need followers. But one doesn't need followers to be a king or a leader. When a person seeks followers, church members, disciples, fans, supporters, it proves they are not a king, a leader in the spiritual kingdom of heaven. They have got ego and pride problems. They have self-concept problems. They have self-esteem problems. They need other people to give them value. This is a disease that can be called low self-esteem, low self-worth. One has to be born again spiritually, recreated by agape love and his words to spiritually rule and reign as a spiritual high king on earth for the kingdom of heaven. Inside of a born-again spiritual heart and mind is the spiritual seed full of God's gifts, fruits of the kingdom of heaven itself. The gifts are the spiritual fruit of the king who one is to become. Inside each of you, spiritually, there is a tree. But when you get spiritually awoken, it is in seed form. The tree from a seed only exists to deliver, to bear the spiritual fruit for others to taste and receive of the fruit that you bear. And from those seeds, they pass it on to others. You contain seeds of life, joy, and peace, and most of all, agape love inside of you that must mature and grow into the tree that they will come forth from. The fruit of agape love of the kingdom of heaven. The spiritual fruit of reconciliation, rebirth between the heavenly God and all of humanity. Spiritual righteousness, glory, honor, holiness, justice, agape love, joy, and peace overflowing. One does not go to a fruit tree or a grapevine or a tomato plant for the tree or the vine or the plant, but to get the fruit it bears. Even though the tree, the vine, the plant worked hard to become itself, its mature development is to produce fruit, grapes, tomatoes for others. The seed's true gift is its fruit. As others have seeds to grow trees that produce fruit for others. Spiritual development, growth, is about discovering, learning about oneself as a spiritual king, a spiritual ruler, a spiritual leader, and then producing the spiritual fruit of God, the Most High, within yourself. Great and majestic fruit, gifts of the kingdom of heaven, for others to taste and see that the kingdom of heaven and its majestic king, the Most High God, are good. This spiritual understanding, knowledge, and truth will begin to set you spiritually free from the oppression of the oppressors, the herd, the dependency on them, or from their darkness. Fruit trees never bring their fruit to you themselves. They either have to be taken to others, or one has to come to the tree, the vine, the plant itself. One will be drawn, called, bring all men to its fruits in one's life, for the others to taste and see this good fruit. An example would be your comments on LinkedIn or your comments on other social media. Are people drawn to you, wanting to connect to you? Is there something in your words that are different than everybody else's? Can you walk into Walmart and people spiritually look at you and see light? Your fruit will shine out in the darkness. Your words, your actions, your deeds will spiritually draw others to your tree to eat of its fruit. And I want to end right here. This was a lot for you to take in this time, but I want you to learn that first you must have a spiritual awakening. A mama must wake you up. You must be grounded in agape love with a mother, must be disciplined. The mother must know their spiritual responsibilities to you and be there for you. And you must be taught and learn spiritual truths, not what the world teaches. And you must learn and grow. You must be in school for a long time. And you are getting fed and nourished. So one day you too will produce the fruit of your tree, of your vine, that will be given and shared with others. All right, this is Pastor Deborah of the Hidden Kingdoms channel here on YouTube. And this is our YouTube podcast, A Voice of Light in the Darkness, Agape Love. So you come back for the next episode, and I'll be looking forward to you. And I'll see you then. Bye-bye. This is Pastor Deborah. See you then. Bye-bye.